This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
Remembered a message last week about working, laboring, working, okay? And we talked about God's work week. You know, what was God's work week in Genesis, and how it was a pattern for us today. How we should work only so many days and then make sure we have a day of rest. We have the Sabbath day we celebrate, and so on and so forth. We talked about that. Then at the end of the message last week, we began to talk about working or laboring for the Lord. Okay? We talked about if we put in the same effort as we do, as we work for ourselves, do we work for God the same way? Do we labor for the Lord? You know, do we put time in for God like we do on our regular job? Well, it's probably difficult to do 40 hours or whatever like we normally do on a regular work week, but you know what I mean. Do we put effort in laboring for the Lord and working for the Lord? I want to talk about that today in part two of this message. Labor how long? How long should we labor? Okay? In the natural and in the spiritual. I want to refresh us from where we ended last week in John 6:27. We can go there real quick. John 6:27. We talked in this chapter about Jesus, how He is what we should labor for. He is our bread of life. He is what satisfies us, what fills us, okay? And in this chapter, Jesus was talking to the people who were following Him for the wrong reasons. In this chapter, we're not going to go into this today, but in the chapter, you can read this on your own, is when Jesus fed the 5,000, okay? How many remember that story? 5,000 were fed from 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. And at the end of this little passage here, this is what He talks to the people who are getting fed physically. He says to them in verse 27, well, let me go back. I'm going to go back to verse 26. He says, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, you seek Me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." Jesus, He rebukes the people here. He says, the only reason why you're following Me, it's not because you saw a miracle, but because you got fed. Because I filled your belly. Did you get that today? Amen? He says, that's the only reason why you're seeking Me. It's because of the food I gave you, the physical food. Okay? Look at what He says then in 27. He says, "Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed." So He says, don't labor or don't work for meat that's going to fade away. All right? How many know today we need to eat? We need to eat to make sure this body is strong, right? That we get our nourishment. But just don't work for that kind of meat, is what He told the people here. He says you need to labor for a different kind of meat. Spiritual meat. Amen. Spiritual food. Because how many know spiritual food is going to get you to heaven today? Amen. Spiritual food is going to make sure that you endure all the way till Jesus comes back. Amen. That you're going to have everlasting life one day. It's going to be because of spiritual food. Amen. Not physical food. Now, you know, we here, there's a lot of us here that are, I must say this, the Italians are known for their food. Okay? Not that other nationalities aren't, but Italians are always known for a certain food. Okay? faster. Right? Yesterday, my wife said we went to this birthday party. They had all this different kind of food, and they had mustard choli. And they asked me, Uncle Rich, did you eat the mustard choli? I said, no, I had Mama's pasta earlier, so I didn't want any mustard choli. Okay? She makes the best, all right? I already had eaten my portion for today. But we're known for certain foods, okay? Now, that's okay, but I'd rather Italians or Hispanics or whatever, they're known for how they follow God instead of the food that they make. How many know what I'm trying to say here? Amen? You know, what are we known for? Praise God. Jesus, he kind of puts a little perspective in our life that what do we work for? What do we labor for? Is it just the natural things that one day they're going to fade away? Amen? Or do we balance our life? That not only do we work, because we have to work. If you don't work, the Bible says, you don't eat. How many know that verse in the Bible? If you don't work, the Bible says you shouldn't even eat. Meaning, nobody should be lazy. Amen? Everybody needs to work. That's part of the problem with our country. Some people want the handout and don't want to work. How many know what I'm talking about? But everybody needs to do their part. Okay, so Jesus here, he puts some perspective for us. He says, you know what? I want you to labor, or I want you to work for the meat and the food that will sustain you unto everlasting life. Praise God. So that one day, heaven will be here. Praise God. We're looking for heaven to come. Amen. I want to turn to a different scripture dealing with eating again. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. Let's turn there quickly. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. It says this. This puts some perspective again. He's talking to Israel, but he's talking really to everybody. This is a universal call, these first two verses. He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. Anybody thirsty here today? Amen? He says, come to the waters. Not these kind of waters, even though this water is good today. Amen? He says, come to the waters, he that hath no money. Anybody broke today? I hope not. But if you're broke, he says, if you have no money, come and buy and eat. He says, come buy wine and milk without any money or without any price. He says in verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? He says, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Amen. He's trying to tell the people here, like he's telling us today, he's saying, don't spend your money for things that don't satisfy today. Amen. People do that. You know, they spend all they got just to what? Satisfy their body or satisfy their lust. Okay? But God says, don't blow all your money on things that, you know what, in the end, they really don't satisfy. The pleasures of this world, they only satisfy or give us so much fulfillment. But God says, you know what? What I give you, the bread that I give you, you can't even pay for it with your money. Amen. You don't have to pay for it. You just got to receive it today. Amen. What a blessing, right? It's free. How many know this food is free here? It's free. And it's the best food you can have. Amen. For your soul. He says here, you know what? It's okay for you to delight yourself in fatness. It's okay for you to be fat spiritually. Amen? Spiritually, he says, get fat. Hallelujah. Not naturally. Amen. We have that problem in our world, especially in the U.S. A lot of people are overweight. Okay? I wish we had that problem in the kingdom. We'd be all too overweight. Right? If we were overweight, our church would probably be filled today. All right, let me move on. Praise God. Amen. He says, diligently hearken to what I'm saying. He's telling Israel here. He's telling us today. So, let me ask here, what really satisfies us, you know? Because that's what drives us. Do you know that today? Whatever satisfies you drives you to do something. Amen? So he's saying here, don't let these things really satisfy you, because they really don't. Don't work all your life for things that eventually are going to fall by the wayside. Don't put your money in stuff that eventually is going bye-bye. You know, be wise with what you have. Labor for that which is going to be a blessing to you. Okay? Now, what satisfies us? Praise God. What satisfies us today? Spiritual food. I want you to turn to Jeremiah, because we're right there. You don't have this in the notes back there, but Jeremiah 3:15. The Lord says, I'm gonna give you what you need. And this is what he says in Jeremiah 3:15. He says, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Amen? God says, I'm going to give you, he's talking to the universal church here, but he's talking to Oriel too, all of us. He says, if you want spiritual food, I'm going to give you pastors after my own heart who are going to feed you. Amen? Did you come hungry today, Oriel? Did you come hungry for God's word? Amen? Maybe you ate breakfast at home, but that was for your natural body. But did you come hungry for your breakfast in the Word today? Amen? How many enjoy coming and receiving knowledge and understanding and wisdom from God's Word? Amen? Do you ever get tired of hearing the Word of God? You shouldn't, right? You should what? Be hungry. You should be thirsty for the Word of God. Amen? And God knows that, so He places pastors and churches to feed you. Amen. So that you'll be satisfied, praise God, with spiritual food. Hallelujah. Spiritual food. It's going to sustain us. Going to keep us. You know, when everything might be falling around us, what spiritual food we have is going to sustain us. Praise God. It's going to keep us to endure to the end. Praise God. Laboring is what we're talking about here. Laboring for the Lord. I want you to now to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is a good passage of Scripture talking about laboring. 1 Corinthians 3. In this chapter, Paul is talking to the church, and in the church here at Corinth, they were having some problems. They were, in my Bible, it calls it partyism in the church. Partyism. When I read that, I thought about our government today. How they're in this partyism. You know, these Republicans, they stick this way. These Democrats, they stick this way. It's all about partyism. You know, they form some ideas that they agree on, and they exclude then the rest of the people. You know, they form their own group. They form their own party. In Corinthians, they were having this kind of a problem. Look at what it says about this partyism. And I'm going to backtrack here a little bit. Let's go to, let's say, verse 4. Chapter 3, verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 3. It says, for while... Well, let me go back even further. Let's go back a little bit further. Verse 3. He says, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife, and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? So they were having this division, okay? He says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? You know, some of them were saying, well, I'm with Paul. And others were saying, no, I'm with Apollos. It's like today, some of you say, well, I'm with Pastor Rich. And then some of you would say, I'm with Brother Carlos. Or I'm with Brother Philip. Say, what are you talking about? You're being carnal here. What are you talking about? Look at what it says. We're reading on here. He says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. You know, they're all of the same group here. Amen? You might have received the Lord through Apollos instead of Paul, but they're together. We're not separated. Don't start making little groups of your own. You know, don't start breaking apart. You're all in the same group here. You're the same team. Don't form, you know, don't segment or break up what God is doing here. He rebukes them here. He says, you're walking carnal. Amen. You're walking in the flesh. You don't even realize what you're doing. And look at what he says then. Verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Amen? Someone had to plant, someone had to water, but God brought the increase. Amen? He says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Amen? We all do our part, but without God's increase, we're nothing. Amen? We can be doing a lot, we could be doing a little today, but whatever we're doing, we're all part of the team. Amen? We're all doing our part, and as we do our part, then God brings the blessing. Amen? God brings the blessing. Without the blessing from God, it's all in vain. Amen? So, he's saying here, you know what? We work together. Praise God. Look at verse 8. He says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. One team. Amen? We're one group. Praise God. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Praise God. So, today, maybe some of us are ones to plant. Okay? Maybe some of us do some watering. Amen? Some of us do some singing. Amen? Some of us do some ushering. Some of us do some teaching. Amen. Whatever. Praise God. We're all doing our part, what God has gifted us to do. Amen. We're a team. We're laboring as a team. Praise God. And you know what? You're going to get a reward according to your labor. Should have got an amen there. Praise God. So if you are laboring for the Lord, and you know, I don't really, that word has a connotation like you're really struggling, working for, I don't like that. You're serving the Lord. Let me even change it today. Amen. You're serving the Lord in some type of way, some kind of ministry. You know what? God will reward you for that today. Amen? He will. Even if it's the smallest thing, God sees the smallest thing you do. Amen? Whatever you're doing, it doesn't go unseen. And you will be rewarded. And that's not why we do what we do here at church. Amen? We don't do it so we can get rewarded. We don't do it so we can get, you know, acclimates from others. But that comes with it, all right? We do it because we love God today, amen? We serve because we love God, praise God. You serve because you love people. No amens. You know, we do what we do because of God. Nobody makes us do what we do. I want you to know that. Our council team, they are a blessed team. I'm so thankful to have them. Because they do what they do not because I force them to do it. I don't force them to do what they do. They want to do it. Praise God. They come when they need to come because they're involved. Amen. And some of you also who are part of our team here, when there's things to be done, you come because you want to, not because I force you to come. Right? When we have work day, those of you come because you want to, not because I force you to come. Amen. You do it because you're a part of the team. Amen. You're a co-laborer. That's what we're talking about. You're laboring, you're working for the kingdom. However you can. Praise God. It might be cutting the grass. Amen. You know, Brother Carlos used to have to cut the grass. Not have to, but he said, I'll do it. And recently, a brother from another church, I don't need to mention names, but he comes and he normally cuts the grass for us. What a blessing. He don't even come to this church, but he comes and he cuts our grass for us. That's a blessing. We're part of the same church. Not maybe Oriole, but the church of God. Amen. Has a desire to bless, to serve. So verse 9 says this, for we are laborers together with God. Amen. We're together. We're laboring together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Amen. Who is? You and me. Right? God depends on you and me to do our part for the kingdom to go forth. Amen. For Oriole to go forth. Praise God. Without you, there is no church today. Amen. Without you putting your hands to the plow. Right? I didn't put that in my scriptures today, but it talks about that. Putting our hands to the plow, meaning I'm going to get involved. I'm going to do my part, whatever it is, because I want to do my part for God and for the kingdom, whatever that may be, whatever part that is. Why? Because we're co-laborers together. Amen. And you will receive a reward according to that labor. Praise God. It's a blessing. Amen. The problem is, though, sometimes, is we don't have enough laborers. Ooh, I got an amen on that one real quick. Sometimes we don't have enough workers, you know, and it gets hard for the rest of those who are laboring. So, you know, we've been praying for God to give us more laborers, more workers, as well as more people. We know we need more people. And that's what Matthew 9 talks about here. Let's go to Matthew 9. You know these verses. I don't need to dwell on these verses, but just to read them again. In Matthew 9, we're talking about laboring, working, right? How many know Jesus, when he lived and walked on this earth, he labored? Amen. He worked. He was not a, you know, one who slept in every day till noon and got up any time and just did his own thing. No, he was an example for us. And I want you to look at verse 35. I'm going to backtrack a little bit here in Matthew 9. It says, Jesus went about all the cities and all the villages. He did three things in particular, which is what our church is to do. He went about teaching in the synagogues. He went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. And he went about healing. Amen. Every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus' ministry was threefold: teaching, preaching, and healing. Amen. In that healing was not just healing of sickness, but deliverance. Amen. He delivered people too. That was part of healing. Deliverance. Okay? Whatever we need to be whole, Jesus was in that kind of ministry, healing ministry. That's what our church needs to be. As people come here, we need to be a church that teaches, preaches, and brings healing to people. Amen? Anybody here today? Praise God. But he says, when he saw the multitudes. Now, this is a key here. I want you to catch this today, because this is going to relate to you and me and to what we do here. He says, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he went home. Is that what it read? No. It says, he was moved with compassion in them, or on them. He says, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Amen? What moved Jesus? When he saw the people. You know, Dawn sings a song sometimes on Wednesday night about just seeing people for a second like Jesus sees them, or like God sees them. If we would see people through the eye of God, we would what? Really have tremendous compassion for people. Amen? See, what's going to drive you and me today to labor for God? You have compassion for people. Amen? Meaning, let me make it real simple. You care. You care about people. Amen? You care that, you know what, you can't look in here because there's no multitude in here, but look outside the church. There's a multitude of people. Amen? And you know what? Most of them have no shepherd today. Most of them don't. Most of them are not even near church today. Oh yeah, we have a lot of churches. We got a lot of people going to church. But on a percentage note, out of how big our nation is, it's probably a real small percentage of people that go to church regularly. People who really are involved, who love God. And you know what? We need to look at the big picture and say, there's a multitude out there that we got to reach. Even my, whatever I do at Oriole, that little part, it makes a difference. Amen. You know, if it's me singing on the praise and worship team, you know what? God's going to use that to minister to people. Amen. If it's playing an instrument, God's going to use that. Amen. If it's me teaching the children's ministry, man, how many know our children need to know the Lord? Our young people, our youth need to know the Lord. Amen. We need to have a youth group. Amen. You know, we have some young people here now. It's such a blessing to see our brother with us now coming. And we have Alexis. We actually have two people who can really be the beginning of our youth group here. That excites me. How about you? Because we need to touch teenagers today. Amen? If we don't get teenagers in the church before they graduate high school and go on to college, you know what? We lose most of them. If they're not in church, if they're not grounded in church by the time they graduate high school, you know what? We lose them to the world. That's how important ministry to young people is, as well as adults. Okay, but you know what? If we don't care, we're not going to do nothing. Amen? If we don't care that people are dying and going to hell, we're not going to do nothing. Amen? High Point, we're asking for volunteers because if you care, you're going to get involved. Amen? You're going to say, I want to teach the children. Amen? Yeah, even if it means Wednesday nights, I might miss pastor's teaching sometimes, but it's for a good reason. I want to teach the kids. I want to have fun with the kids. Amen. You see? Compassion. Jesus, he cared. We got to care. Amen. We got to have a desire to want to see people's lives changed like our lives have been changed. Amen. And continue to change. What a blessing. Amen. To know God today. What an example we see here of Jesus. He says in verse 37, he says, then saith he unto his disciples. Now he's talking to the 12. Amen. He says, the harvest truly is what? Plenteous. There's a lot of multitude of people out there, but the laborers are few. They're few. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. We got to pray. I've been praying. You know, I've been meeting, not as probably as regularly as I'd like to, but I'm meeting with a pastor who's been assigned to me as my coach Okay? And that's Pastor Carlos from Belmont Assembly of God. And I think it was the first time I met with him in my office here. We just spent time in my office talking. First time we got together. And you know what he told me to do? He says, "How's your children's ministry?" I said, "We have one, but it's not really great." Amen. "It's not really, you know, exploding by any means." He says, "You know what you need to pray for? A children's pastor." He said, "How's your youth group going?" I said, "We really don't have one." He says, "You need to pray for a youth pastor." And you know what he was trying to tell me? That if there's one person who gets the vision for that ministry, you know what? That ministry will then begin to launch off. Somebody's got to have the vision for that ministry. Amen? It don't have to be a pastor, let me just say this to you, but a person who says, "My heart is for children, to grow the children's ministry." And that's all they want to do. Children's ministry. They'll be here 4 days a week if they have to, because they got a vision for children's ministry. How many know what I'm talking about? Someone who will have a heart for what? The youth. Who may end up being the youth pastor. Amen? Or maybe God will send us a youth pastor here. Amen? But you have to have what? The passion. Amen? See, our council team can't do it all. How many know that tonight? I can't do it all. My wife can't do it all. Do you realize my wife usually is not up here during service? Because she's usually downstairs. Children, right? It's usually my wife or Giovanna who trade off. Okay? But what do we do when we got some youth here? Amen? They both are down there. Amen. But you see, they're doing it, but they may not really be the right person to take it over and make it work. How many know what I'm talking about? They're doing it because we don't have anybody else. Amen? But we need critical people in critical positions so that ministry can really blossom for people. You know, people go to churches where they think they got a great children's ministry. Amen? People go to churches because they got a great praise and worship team. I'm giving you honesty here today. Amen? People go to certain churches because they love the ministry that goes forth. They love the teaching of the pastor. Or, you know, something really hits home. Amen? How many know what I'm talking about? Right? We got all the key ingredients here, but we need to get them going even more. Amen? You know, I'm sharing my heart with you today because we're talking about what? Laboring for God. We had a council meeting just recently, and I don't need to mention names, but one of our council people said, "You know what? We need to do more on Sunday." That's what I heard from one of them. Meaning, we can do better. I said, "You know what? I appreciate that. We can. All of us can do better. I can do better." How many know that today? Amen? If we have a want to, praise God. That's the start. I want to. Amen. I want to see our church filled. Amen? Do we really? I'm asking you today. You know what? If it gets full, we're going to be busy. Amen? All of you are probably going to get busy because you're the foundation of Oreo right here today. If every pew here was filled today, I guarantee you all of you would be involved in some way. Because you need to. The ministry would be hopping. The church that I was a part of for 24 years was not a humongous church. It was the size of this church. At our highest point, we had 120 people in our church. And you know what? 40 people at least were involved in the ministry. 40. One-third out of the 120 were involved in the ministry to make it work. Okay? You can't just have 4 people, 8 people. You know, it takes hands. It takes feet saying, "You know what? I want to be this laborer." Praise God. I want to see this ministry go forth greater. Amen. I want to see more musicians up here. Amen. I want to see more singers up here. I'm praying for that too. Are you? That God would bring us some people to work with the people we have. Amen. Who would like to see live praise and worship every service? I would. Amen. I used to be involved in that. Every service was live music. It takes people. Amen. It takes people who have a vision for that and say, that's what I'm going to do in the church. That's my gift. I'm going to give all I got to labor in that ministry. Amen. Now, I understand sometimes we have multi-ministry. You know, especially when you're smaller, you're in multi different ministries because you're needed. And some of us are multi-talented. Amen. Multi-gifted, which is a blessing. Amen. That's a good thing. But we got to pray for laborers. Amen. And you know what? Some of you might be those laborers. Right now, you may not really be involved, but you can be if you want to. Amen. Nobody's coming knocking on my door. I haven't had a long list of people knocking saying, Pastor Rich, I have a desire to teach a class. I've been waiting for somebody to come do that to me. Amen. No takers yet. You know, when a pastor has people who come to him and say, Pastor, this, I got a vision. I got a desire. I want to do food pantry. You know what? I hate to say it. No one's come knocking on my door saying, Pastor Rich, can I do this for Oriel? I haven't heard yet. I think it'd be awesome if we had a food pantry ministry here. Because what would we be doing? Reaching out to people. Amen. But somebody got to do it. Pastor Rich can't do it. Especially right now. Because he's only could be here 2 or 3 days a week. Because I'm working. Amen. But it takes people. Say, I wanna do it. You know, Christian Life Center, they started this food pantry ministry when we were going there. It started with one person had a desire. And you know what? Now this food pantry ministry they have has grown. Every week they feed like 100 families with this ministry. And because of it, families have come into the church. Amen. What did it take? People with passion. Amen. People with compassion. People want to see other people minister to, right? That's how it's going to happen. Amen. Laboring. Let me move on here. I'll never get through this today. I'm trying to make a point here. I'm blessed with what we have here, but we need to go to the next level. Amen. We do. We need to have a desire to go to the next level. Don't be satisfied here. We need to move up. Amen. Never be satisfied where you are. There's more. Praise God. If you want to. Amen. If you want to. Let me go into just a couple things here. 1 Timothy 5. Let's go there. I'm going to skip some of the scriptures I had here. 1 Timothy 5. This is what God says about those who labor in the church, especially those who are in positions of leadership sometimes, and not necessarily so, but you know what? Everybody is worthy of their labor. Okay? And in 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18, let's look at this. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Who's worthy? The laborer. The one who works. Amen. And, you know, here he's talking about elders, he's talking about leaders, pastors, the fivefold, whatever. But this is not only for pastors or leaders. It's for all who work, okay? Some churches have the mentality that the pastor should be poor. I'm going to say it. I'm going to be real upfront with you. Some churches don't feel they should support the pastor, shouldn't take care of the pastor. He should work real hard. He shouldn't, you know, not here. I'm not saying here. But there's churches like that. They give no honor to the man of God, which is so sad. But here he tells us, he says, you should, this elder or this leader should be what? Counted worthy of double honor. The one who is what? Who especially labors in the word and in doctrine. The one who is preaching and teaching all the time, that person is worthy of double honor. Because it's a special calling and it's so needed. Amen? To have people who are willing to labor in the word. Amen? To study, to do whatever it takes so that they can bring a fresh word to you every week. Amen? Bring you teaching that will give you what? Spiritual food. Amen? And it says, that person is worthy of his reward. Amen? Not that the pastor should live way above the people. Now, there's other churches that are like that. The pastor, he drives, he comes to church in a Bentley. But the church is hurting. You see, there's got to be a balance, okay? I might be, you know, really giving not a good example here. But what I'm trying to say is we should take care of one another. Amen? If you love your pastor, you should want him to be taken care of. Amen? And not only the pastor, but you know what? My dream and my desire and my vision is to see people full-time here, not just me. Amen? I'd love to see a full-time youth pastor. Amen? Or a full-time children's pastor. A full-time praise and worship leader. These are key positions in the church. A full-time secretary. Amen? Boy, it's getting quiet here. We need people. Why can't we have that? Amen? I was at a church this week. I was working with one of my agents, and our last appointment was to see a person from his sister's church. And we were in the southwest side of Chicago. We were on 68th and Ashland. And that was our last appointment Thursday night. And we were taking care of this individual. He works at the church. And I got to meet the pastor. And the church is a small church, okay? It's like our church. I didn't really get to see the whole inside, but I'm pretty sure the attendance probably is the same as ours here. What we could have here is probably the size of their church. And I got to meet the pastor, and the pastor said to me, because I told him what we did, I gave him my card, introduced myself. I said, we do insurance, we help churches out, we help individuals. He says, you know what? I need insurance for 20 workers. He blew me away. He says, I need health insurance for 20 people that work for me. I said, what? You got 20 people that work for you? That just amazed me. It is a pretty small church, but he got 20 people that work. I don't know if they're all full-time. Probably some of them are full-time and some are part-time. But wouldn't that be awesome? Here at Oriel, we'd have 20 people on staff. Man, that would mean that we're doing good. Amen? We got people, what? Tithing. Everybody's tithing. Everybody's giving. The church is hopping. Wouldn't that be awesome? Who says we can't get there? Amen? If we have that vision, that desire today, praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go there. I'm trying to wrap up here. 1 Corinthians 15. It's one of my favorite scriptures. First Corinthians 15:58. He says, this is to all of us, okay? This should be our mindset. This should be our heartbeat here at Oriel. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Amen. Unmovable. We talked about this Wednesday night. Not shaken. Unmovable. Meaning you're going to be steadfast, consistent. Now look at what he says. Always. Somebody say always. Always abounding in what? The work of the Lord. Always. I mean, that should be your heartbeat. What can I do for you, Lord? I want to serve. I want to work for you, God. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor, there it is, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Let me encourage you, church, whatever you do, it's not in vain. Praise God. You might think, oh, it's just a small thing. Oh, when we have our luncheons, you're part of the kitchen crew. Well, that's important. Amen. If we don't have people serving the food and cleaning up afterwards, we can't have a luncheon. Amen. Don't minimize what you do, but look at it and say, what else can I do? Amen. Don't have a small vision of yourself. Have a big vision. Amen. I can do more. God, I'm gifted. You've gifted me. I can do even more. Amen. I always want to be steadfast. Always working, abounding. Praise God. In the work of the Lord, it says here. Always abounding. Praise God. I want to look at this verse in the Amplified. Brother Carlo, would you change it to the Amplified version? I want you to see this. Hallelujah. I like this picture here. He's working pretty hard, ain't he? He's working hard. Amen. Look at it. Because he's working hard, he built some pretty good muscles. Amen. We need those spiritual muscles. It says here, therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, here's the part I like. Always being superior, excelling. Oh, praise God. Doing more than enough in the service of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile, it is never wasted or to no purpose. Wow. That's powerful. So, excelling. Amen. Meaning, don't be satisfied. You know, this is what you may have been doing for years. Believe God to take you to even something else. Amen. I want to continue to excel in the work of the Lord. Amen. I want to see pastors come out of our church. Amen. I want to see prophets be birthed out of this church. Amen. I want to see evangelists come out of this church. Does anybody else? Amen. Teachers, right? Apostles. Why not? Right? It can happen. Praise God. But we got to have this kind of a spirit. Amen. A spirit to serve and to do for God. It's so important. Amen. I got two more scriptures and I'm closing here. 2 Timothy 4:5. 2 Timothy 4:5. This was not in the notes either back there. This is an add-on. 2 Timothy 4:5. I want you to get this one little verse here. The last part of it mainly really touched my heart as I read this. It says, but watch thou in all things, and he's talking here to those in ministry, okay? He says, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. This is a big one that we don't like. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work. Do the work, fill in the blank, of a teacher. Amen? Do the work of an usher, whatever it is. Do the work of the kitchen ministry. Amen? You fill in the blank. Here it says, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. What is he saying here? Make full proof of thy ministry. What is your ministry today? Amen? I like the Amplified Bible. It says it this way. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. Let me say that again. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. Let me put it this way. Don't do any kind of ministry half-hearted. Amen? When you say, Pastor Rich, this is what I want to do in ministry, and I say, go for it, do it with all your heart. Amen? Don't do it half-hearted. Put everything you can into it. Make full proof of your ministry. Amen? If you're a singer, you need to sing. Amen? And if you want to do it great, you got to practice. Amen? You might have to go for lessons. I'm not saying that in the wrong way. Because what? You want to improve. Amen? If you're a musician, maybe you may want to take lessons too to get better. I'm just throwing stuff out, right? For whatever you do, you what? Want to excel. Do it to the best that God has given to you to do it. Amen? Don't be satisfied where you may be today. If you're a teacher, you want to go to teaching seminars so you can improve being a teacher. Amen? If you're a pastor, you want to go to pastoral type seminars, right? You never say, I've arrived, I'm good. I don't have no room to improve. Baloney. Amen? Everybody does, right? You never stop. Praise God. I like what it says here. Make full proof of your ministry. Or put it this way, fully perform all the duties of your ministry. Don't be lax. Be responsible for what God's given you to be a steward over. Amen. Do it all the way. And watch God bless you. Praise God. My last scripture here, Psalm 127:1. Psalm 127:1. You know this scripture. I've read it before. Psalm 127:1. We're talking about laboring the last 2 weeks. Amen. Laboring, working, right? This verse is all we're going to read. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Amen. What is he trying to tell us here, church? He says, except the Lord build the house. Amen. They that labor, which is us, we labor in vain that try to build it. Meaning, you know what? If we don't have the Spirit of the Lord here, we don't have the presence of the Lord here, we can do whatever we want and it ain't going anywhere. Amen? It's the Spirit of the Lord in you, in me, that will cause this place to grow. Amen? It's the Lord in us, praise God. We are what? Co-laboring with Him and with one another. We as a team, with the anointing of God, with the Spirit of God, with all that God has given us, that's how it's going to happen. Otherwise, we can do whatever and it'd be in vain today. Amen. We need the Spirit of the Lord. We don't have to, I like what he says here, the Lord keeps the city. Amen. It says here, the watchman, he don't have to wake up all and stay awake all night because it's in vain. The Lord's going to watch the city. Meaning you can go to sleep at night. God bless you. You can go to sleep at night and not worry. Amen? You can go to sleep at night and not have to worry, how is my bills going to be paid? God gives you what? Peace. He gives you what you need. Amen? Let me tell you this. I had a woman I talked to this week on my job. I was talking to her, and when she picked up the phone, she was very upset, very critical. Like, why are you calling me? Okay? And I was calling her about her insurance, and she tells me, Esther, she quieted down and calmed down. She says, I can't sleep at night because I know I don't have my insurance right now. She says, it's on my mind. I don't even sleep good at night because if God forbid something happened to me, I don't know what our family would do. I said, I understand what you're saying, but we don't have to be in that position. Amen? We can think about that way with our church or with our life. You know, I am so worried about everything, I can't even sleep at night. Amen? Have you ever been there? I have. Things were so troubling to me at times in my life that I struggled sleeping at night. Because why? I was worried about stuff. Have you ever been worried about stuff? Amen? But he tells us here, you don't need to keep the city. God's going to keep the city. Amen? God's going to keep our church. Amen? As long as the Lord's Spirit is here, the Spirit of the Lord is here, and we let Him work in us, amen? We don't limit God. You know what? Don't look at what you're seeing today. What are you looking to see? Amen. Where's our vision? Amen. Oh. I got something in the paper yesterday. This is what I'm closing with. I promise. I'm closing with this. This past Friday, Michael Jordan, he got inducted into the Hall of Fame, okay? Because of how great of a basketball player this man was, okay? He made a tremendous speech. I only heard part of it. And he was funny, but it was really good. This guy can actually, he has an anointing to speak. I don't know if people know it or not. But when he speaks, he makes a lot of sense, okay? Yesterday morning, we went out for breakfast, my wife and I, and I have the paper at home I get, but I don't get this sometimes. I get the trip. I happened to look at the paper, was in the booth next to me. I grabbed it and I started looking at it. And on the back of the Sun-Times has a quote here from Michael Jordan. And I want to read this as we close here today. And he shows him crying in this picture, all right? But listen to what he says. He says, and this is like a little mini paraphrase of everything he was saying, limits, like fears, are often an illusion. Let me say that again. Limits, like fears, are often an illusion. Then he says, I do anything to win. Let me say that again. I do anything to win. All right? I said, Lord, I need to take this. I need to hang this up, all right, in my office here. Maybe out here so we can see this. What he was trying to say, when he played basketball, he did whatever it took to win. Amen? If it meant working out every day, if it meant going to the gym every day, you know, busting his butt, exercising, being in the best physical shape. Why? Because he wanted to win. Amen. Let me ask you today, church, do you want to win? Do you want to win here? Praise God. Then you're going to be like he was. But he did it for basketball. How much more for Jesus? I'll do anything so we'll win here. Amen. Let's stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a statement. Amen. I don't think sometimes we realize that the church is made up of people. Amen. People like me and you. Every church that has been successful and has done tremendous things for God, you know, it all started small at one point. Amen? And as time went on, God what? He built that church up. Amen? And it happened. All right? Yesterday, I went to a funeral for someone that is, she was 80, she was going to be 86 next month. She just died last week. Let me tell you, I've been to a lot of funerals, but this funeral was incredible. This woman, she was a woman of God. She was known for her persistent prayer, okay? A woman of prayer, a woman who, she didn't have a big ministry in the church, but she used to give prophetic words to people, okay? Always words of encouragement, always was smiling in the church. Never was down. Always positive. And you know what? At this funeral yesterday, the whole family was there. It's like 50 people were there just from her family. And let me tell you, the fruit of this woman, they're all saved. All 50. Everyone in this family is saved, okay? This funeral took 2 hours because so many of the family came up to say a last word about grandma or about, you know, mom. One woman affected this whole family. It's unbelievable. I had tears in my eyes through this whole funeral because I heard these testimonies. I said, Lord, one person can affect so many. Amen. That person's you today and me. Amen. So today, you know, it's not the beginning of a new year. It's not, we're not going into, well, we are going into a new season. I just want us to get focused, okay? As we go into fall and winter, let's be focused here, all right? And I'm going to ask you to do something I don't always do. If you're 100% here today and say, I'm in for the haul, praise God, at Oriole, whatever I need to do, Pastor Rich, I'm in it for the haul. I'm going to ask you to come up front here, praise God, because I want to pray for you, amen? Saying, I'm recommitting myself to God first, and God has brought me to Oriole. This is my house. Then I'm saying to you as well as the Lord, I'm here. Amen. I'm going to give all I got. Praise God. If that's, you don't have to if you don't want to come out of your pew. I'm challenging you today that you're going to come up here and say, I want to make a difference. Praise God. I'll do whatever it takes. Amen. I'm not going to be worried about everybody else or what they're doing or what they're saying. I'm going to do whatever because I'm going to win. Praise God. I want to win. If it means everything I got to do, if it means sacrifice, I'm going to win. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray for these. And I'm going to pray for you too who didn't come up, that God will minister to you. Okay? You may not be one who is going to be totally involved in all kinds of ministry, but you still have a part to play here. Amen. You do. Even if it's just doing, you're giving your tithes and your offerings every week. We need to have it here. Do you know that, church? Amen. If we don't give like we're supposed to give, it's difficult. Amen. Especially because we're less people at this point, but as God begins to build, look out. Amen. Ministry and opportunity will increase and more things can happen because of what we're doing. Amen. Say amen. Pray for these up here. They're saying, I'm going all out. Amen. Michael Jordan type spirit. Amen. I'm going to pray for you too. That you get to where they're at right now. That you'll say, I'm willing. Okay? I can't make you do this today. I'm not here to make you do anything. I'm here to give you what God has given me to do. Praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord, right now. We thank you, God. As we have talked about laboring, hallelujah. Laboring in the natural, now laboring for you in the spiritual realm, Lord. Laboring in the kingdom. God, I pray today, as Lord, a man of this world could put it in a sentence that could wake us up, Lord. I'll do anything to win. Lord, if we would take that now and put that in our walks with you, Lord. I'll do anything, Lord, you want me to do. What a blessing it will be, Lord. Today, God, let that be the theme of this church. I'll do anything for the cause of Christ, Lord. Father, touch our people here. I know many are not here today for whatever reason. But those who are here, Lord, those that who didn't come in front, and those who are at the front, Lord, each one of us would just commit afresh and anew to you, Lord, first of all, to your kingdom, to what you've called each one of us to do, Lord. Today, we say, it's a new day, Lord. It's a new season, Lord. And here I am. Anoint me, God. Hallelujah. Say that to him in your own way. Anoint me, Lord, in what you've called me to do. Anoint me, Lord, in the ministry you have me right now. Anoint me, Lord, to be more powerful, Lord, to be more used, God. Anoint me with your gifts. Anoint me, Lord, with all that you have so that I can make a difference in people's lives here at Oriel, and wherever you have me, God, today, touch my hands, Lord. Touch my feet, Lord. Lord, I want to be that one who was given 5 talents, and Lord God, made those 5 become 10. Hallelujah. Lord, bless me and all that you've given me to flourish and to grow for the kingdom, Lord. We pray, God, for this church and our individual lives and families, Lord. We would be successful, hallelujah, in a great way, God. And will, Lord, not hesitate to do what it'll take to be successful for you, God, today. We ask you today, Lord, for that blessing, Lord, to go forward, to not ever give up, Lord, not to say, I quit. We don't know those words here, I quit. We will do whatever it takes, God, for your kingdom. Lord, bless us here today. Bless your people, God, to flourish and go forth today in a special way, Lord. Let each one be, know they are appreciated, God. They are appreciated for what they do, Lord. Lord, what would we do if they didn't do what they did, Lord? Who would take their place today, Lord? Lord, we thank you for each one here at Oriel. Bless our family, God. Bless our membership here. Bless our tithes and offerings, Lord. Bless, Lord, the work of labor that is done here, God. But, Lord, we say, you build a house, Lord. You build a house here. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Greet somebody. Encourage someone today in the Lord. Amen. Bless you guys. All right. That was good. I'm leaving.